The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pass the Lord's blessing. Father, as we turn our attention tonight to a very familiar friend, the 23rd Psalm, we do pray that your Spirit might be powerfully among us, opening the text to us afresh, and opening our minds to receive and understand the wonderful truths that are taught in this passage. Lord, keep us from the distractions that the devil would have us pay attention to. Help us to be focused on you and alert, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most wicked lies that has ever been told is that the God of the Old Testament is a harsh God of wrath and judgment. And honestly, given the psalm that is before us tonight, one wonders how such a statement has ever gained any credibility. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best-known chapter of the Old Testament, perhaps of the entire Bible. And I would suspect that more people have memorized this chapter than any other psalm, perhaps any other section of the Scriptures. And these words are immortal to our ears. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They speak to us so very eloquently of fatherly comfort and of tender care. How could anyone believe that this God is malevolent or malicious? Well, beyond simply silencing the mouths of heretics and skeptics tonight, I want to very consciously and deliberately minister comfort, God's comfort, to you. I want to draw you away from the pains and the frustrations and the difficulties of life, to focus your attention for a brief moment on God's care for you. I believe that this psalm can bring a measure of spiritual comfort to you that will strengthen, will bless, will help, and will encourage. Who of us doesn't need the tender care of our heavenly shepherd? Whether we face relational difficulties or moral challenges, besetting sins, physical ailments, mental difficulties, we all need care. We need God's care. Moreover, I'm sure each one of us knows someone who lacks that care, who yearns for that care, but doesn't know where to turn to get it. So not only can you experience God's care tonight in your own soul, but I want to equip you to become the conduits of that care so you can go and help someone else this week. As you eat from the bread of life, take some scraps along for hungry friends. And so come aside with me into this pleasant little psalm and ponder anew what the Almighty will do if in his love he befriend thee. I want to look first tonight at the Lord is your shepherd. Then I want to consider the shepherd's promises to his sheep, and close by focusing on Jesus, the good shepherd. Now this psalm starts with clear, direct, and simple words. The Lord is my shepherd. And from that one phrase comes much comfort. Much blessing can be derived in those few words. And first we notice the name of the Lord. This is Yahweh, Jehovah. This is the eternally existent God. This is I am who I am. He is the Lord of the covenants. He is the Redeemer of His elect. He is the only Savior for sinners. And just notice how often in this psalm He is referenced. Now, if we were to change the various he's and you's to the Lord, here is how it would read. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads me beside quiet waters. The Lord restores my soul. The Lord guides me in paths of righteousness for the Lord's name's sake. I will fear no evil, for Thou, O Lord, art with me. The Lord's rod and the Lord's staff, they comfort me. You see, it's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. David is reminding us that we live by Him and we die by Him. Jehovah, the one true God, the living God. And as we focus our attention on the name of the Lord, we remember His persons, His mighty attributes, His great qualities, His marvelous works, and His holy word. Second, from this opening declaration, we see that the Lord is a shepherd. And what a very fitting analogy this is. The shepherd is the owner of the sheep. The sheep belong to him, and he cares for them accordingly. When they are hungry, the shepherd leads them to the green pastures where they might graze contentedly. When they become thirsty, he diligently searches out quiet waters where they might drink in peace. As they grow weary, it is the shepherd that forces them to lie down and rest. Moreover, as a shepherd of our spirits, the Lord even refreshes and restores our souls. When those sheep need to move to another place, He guides them and He leads them by His own example and by His instruction in the safest and surest paths, the paths of righteousness. A good shepherd, and we know that the Lord is the good shepherd, a good shepherd does everything for his sheep. They are like children to him. If they wander away through their own foolishness, he will diligently search them out until he finds them, and then he will hoist them on his shoulders and carry them back to the sheepfold. If an enemy comes at them, the shepherd will put himself between the predator and the sheep. And if a lion or a bear would happen to snatch away one of those tender lambs, the brave shepherd would pursue the beast, seize it, kill it with his own hands, and rescue his lost lamb. You see, this analogy of the shepherd is a very fitting analogy. But notice, too, the little word here, my. He is my shepherd. Spurgeon talks about this. He says as follows, "The sweetest word of the whole is that monosyllable my. He does not say, 'The Lord is the shepherd of the world at large, and leadeth forth the multitude as his flock,' but 'The Lord is my shepherd.' If he be a shepherd to no one else, he is a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me and preserves me." Spurgeon adds that these words are in the present tense, and so whatever the believer's position, he is even now under the pastoral care of the Lord God Jehovah. And so you see what a personal and very practical comfort this opening sentence is for us. The Lord is my shepherd. But it doesn't stop there. The psalm goes on to tell us much of the shepherd's promises to his sheep. Now, the first promise is really contained in the general statement, "I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And so the promise is this: you will not want. You will not lack. The shepherd knows your every need. In fact, he cares more deeply and more diligently about those needs than you tend to care yourself. The shepherd is entirely able, and he is freely willing to provide for every one of everyone's needs. He gives generously to you. He provides more than you could ask, or even more than you could imagine to ask. He provides for you what is the very best. He does not just simply give the physical and temporal desires of the moment, but he gives you things that you do not even realize that you need. He often provides for things that we are simply too dull and so very slow to ask for. You shall not want, because your shepherd will provide for your needs. The second line of promises has to do with how he provides. He will provide. He provides nourishment. Sheep grow hungry. They need to eat. He leads you into green pastures where you can enjoy a rich banquet. He also supplies refreshments. As the parched soul staggers about, he discovers those quiet and still waters where refreshment comes. He gives you rest, making you to lie down. And then there is spiritual restoration as he spiritually rejuvenates your soul. Don't forget the guidance that he provides as he points you into paths of righteousness, and he gives purpose to it all. Everything is for his name's sake. And so he provides thoroughly, adequately, and completely. A third line of promises deals with protection. He will protect you. As you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Though the hordes of hell would gnash their teeth against you, seeking to drag you down to the deepest pit in their wretched blackness, you shall fear no evil, even the evil one himself is powerless to touch you because your shepherd protects you. All anxiety and all worry is banished from our hearts by the love of Jesus. Your fiercest enemies cannot touch a single hair on your head, but rather they must watch as you sit down at table and feast in their presence. And all of God's protection comes because of the truth, "Thou art with me." If you think of it, not death, not evil, not enemies, nothing can touch us because of the abiding presence of God. Sometimes when we grow afraid and we become anxious, we start to feel that we are all alone. I'm sure you've had that feeling yourself sometime. Here I am, this isolated individual, enormously vulnerable. I'm lonely, I'm weary, I'm helpless. Everyone has deserted me. But in truth, God never deserts us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And so as you feel that at times, remember this fact: God is with me, and God protects me. We also read here that our shepherd will comfort us with his rod and his staff. The rod and the staff are the equipment of a shepherd. He uses them to gently prod a wandering sheep or to apply discipline and bring order to an unruly situation. The Good Shepherd wisely uses all of the tools at his disposal to bring comfort and discipline and order and direction to his people. And by his holy help, we can joyfully experience his tender pastoral care. We know, too, from the end of this psalm that he promises to give us a hopeful future in this life. "My cup overflows. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Listen again to what Spurgeon says on this passage. "Just as when great princes go abroad, they must not go unattended, so it is with the believer. Goodness and mercy follow him always, all the days of his life. The black days as well as the bright days, the days of fasting as well as the days of feasting, the dreary days of winter as well as the bright days of summer. Goodness supplies our needs, and mercy blots out our sins." As you trek on through life, going up and down, through hard times, through good times, God's goodness and his mercy are your constant companions. And his goodness and his mercy follow you. They track you. You cannot shake them. Were you to try, they would find you out, and they would continue to shadow you through life. You understand? God has assigned goodness and mercy to be your constant companions through this life. The days ahead, whatever they bring, are bright. And the hope is true because God's goodness follows us. The last promise is appropriately the last promise. He will give you eternal glory in the life that is to come. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, when David wrote these words, surely he didn't think that he was going to live eternally in this world, in the tabernacle, or in the temple that his son Solomon would build. Certainly he was looking beyond the grave. Surely he was looking to the world that is to come. David knew by faith that when he died, he would be welcomed into his eternal home, that he would gain admittance to the heavenly city where there are many mansions in the Father's house. He knew that he would see his Savior who had been preparing a place for him. As we live our lives, we dare not let our minds constantly and exclusively dwell on the fleeting days of this life. This life is a vapor. It is a breath. You are like grass. In the morning you sprout. In the noon you flourish and bloom. And by evening you wither and fade. How quickly life passes us by. And if we invest all of our time and energy and interest in this life, we are storing up treasures for moth and rust and thieves and descendants. And we don't know what our descendants will do with them. But David reminds us that the promises and blessings and the care of our shepherd are not just for the here and now of this life, but they are for the life in the world that is to come. And so we must think ahead. We must look down eternally through the corridors of time and space and see that there is a world out there beyond the grave. Over the past several years, I have been giving more and more attention to preparing for retirement. And this is a prudent and wise thing to do. You look ahead and you say, well, how will I live once I am no longer earning a wage? Will I have enough money to take care of myself and my wife and perhaps leave something for our children? And that's a good thing to do. But how easy it is to get caught up in that sort of thinking where you stop investing and preparing for eternity. Who knows? I may live 80, 90, even 100 years, and then I will die. And I will spend 10,000 times 10,000 years in the world that is to come. Do we adequately think about and prepare for the world that is to come? The promise here of the heavenly shepherd is that for those who trust in him and those who serve him, they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can never read the 23rd Psalm anymore without thinking of the words of John 10, where our Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. They recognize his voice, and they follow him. In his absolute goodness, the good shepherd made the ultimate sacrifice for his flock. He laid down his life for the sheep. At the hill of Calvary, Psalm 23 finds its complete fulfillment. It is truly on the cross that the shepherd shows his heart of care and his deep compassion. He was no hired hand who remained unconcerned about the sheep and ran away to save his own skin. Our shepherd saw our need. He understood the danger to us. He counted the cost. And he did not love his life, but he willingly sacrificed himself for you and for me. The shepherd became the sacrificial lamb. Tonight, if you are to have any comfort at all, it must be the comfort of Jesus Christ. There is none other that can help you as Jesus can help you. There's no one else that cares for you like Jesus cares for you. There's no one else who can comfort and tend and nourish and refresh as Jesus can. Know for certain that your shepherd Jesus has a good heart, a tender heart of love toward you, a self-sacrificing love. Your shepherd came to help and to heal you, to protect you, and to provide for you. And so I would encourage you at the end of this Sabbath day to draw near to Jesus. He is your good shepherd. And if you put your hope and your confidence in him, you shall not want. No good thing will you lack. But if you have never come to Christ in faith, if you have never embraced Jesus as he is offered to you in the gospel, if you do not know him tonight as your shepherd, and if his care is a foreign concept to you, I would simply invite and implore you to come to him now. The heart of this good shepherd is open to any and to all who would come in humble faith. He will in no wise cast you out. I urge you to believe upon him, to rest in him, to find comfort and to find care for your weary and sin-sick souls. The Lord Jesus Christ bids you to come. In good faith, he invites you, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. O great shepherd of the sheep, who laid down your life and spilled your blood for us, for our comfort and our blessing, for our salvation, we thank you that you care for us, that you do not leave or forsake or abandon or neglect. We thank you that you look upon us with pity and care, and that even tonight you are our shepherd. Please bless these truths to our heart, that we may experience your tender kindness and careful love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.